Welcome to News Tribune on Tap. I'm Gary Caster, managing editor at the Jefferson City News Tribune and host of News Tribune on Tap, a weekly conversation about news and issues in Jefferson City that matter to you.
Today's special guest is Rudy Veit. Hello, Rudy.
Good morning. It's been a great morning. Been to the Capitol already. The quilting people from Russellville has a picnic coming up this weekend in St. Michael's. They stopped by to promote their quilts already, so it's been an active little morning.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, for those who don't know, Rudy represents the 59th District here in Central Missouri in the State House. So, Rudy, you got some business every day, I know, at the State Capitol, but we got some special business coming up here soon. So we got a veto session and a special session. So kind of share with listeners what the difference between the two might be.
Well, the veto session is we're just addressing the bills that the governor overrode or vetoed, did not pass it, had passed the House and Senate. It takes a two-thirds majority, and no one knows what's going to happen at the veto session or special session, but the general consensus is veto session will be very short. His veto will probably not be overridden. He has a very good reason why he vetoed the agriculture tax credit bill, and he has a different approach of what he wants to do for refunding tax or putting taxpayer money back to the taxpayers.
Okay, and so those are the two topics.
Those are the two topics which he vetoed. One, the legislature in the House or Senate and House had agreed on a $500 million just outright refund on tax based upon a formula, and the agricultural tax was for a two-year extension of the agricultural tax credit. And realistically, if you're going to give someone a tax credit, you do it for certain incentives, for investment purposes and that. It was a two-year window. The governor and I agree with him. You cannot encourage investment one way or the other for a businessman based upon two-year projection.
Okay. So both of those topics became the subjects for the special session. So how will that work?
Well, we were supposed to start already this week, and it's not happening. We're going in Wednesday. We're going to have veto session, which I expect will be just in and out with no overrides. Then it depends on how the Senate does and the different structures which we may divide. One bill may go to the House, which would be the agricultural tax credits go to the House and the tax go to the Senate. But if the Senate's not going to do something, and after last year they certainly don't create any great expectations, then probably nothing's going to happen. The governor's worked hard, though, to get everybody to look at something. He believes that there's enough surplus revenues coming in that a tax reduction rate and rate of income tax is feasible. I've seen part of the figures they relied upon. I, like a lot of people, have a lot of concerns about too much tax reduction so that we don't put ourselves in a bind, but his numbers look like fairly conservative estimates. But the Senate's going to add theirs, this House has theirs, so how I feel about the tax reduction bill is going to depend upon what's given in front of us. When you have this much excess money laying around, though, you have a tendency to create new good idea projects. Unfortunately, they don't end when the money ends. The project is there and it keeps on going. Unless you're spending for one-time need, you're creating new policies which are going to create future funding, and that's hard to project the amount of what our future revenues will be.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy, what you're seeing. That's the underlying reason for whether it's a tax credit or a tax cut. It's all built upon this idea of whether Missouri will be able to sustain and grow its revenue growth.
Yeah, I mean, when you have inflation, what we have, it hits you from both ends. Our costs go up, labor and everything for the state, they go up dramatically, and those are direct costs. And in addition, with inflation, revenues may increase, but your buying power is reduced. And add to it, your revenues may not increase either, because if it gets too tight, businesses aren't making money, and they're not paying income tax. They're breaking even if they're able to survive, or they're shutting down. So it's a tricky projection when you look into the future, what's going to happen 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road when you cut the core tax rate.
So let's talk about the difference between an approach between a tax credit versus a tax cut.
Well, a tax cut now, the one that the House wrote was, I guess it's like a tax credit. They're going to just give everybody a tax refund. A tax credit is a method we use at the Capitol, which is kind of getting out of hand. Is we give certain businesses or individuals tax credits if they spend money in certain ways. For instance, a very good organization that lives off tax credit that needs them is Pregnancy Help Center. If you get to the Pregnancy Help Center, you get about a 70% tax credit for the money you paid in. Well, that can still lead to reduced revenue. But there are a lot of great projects that are benefited by tax credits, but whenever you get too many of them, you're cutting off a lot of source of revenue and projecting lost income in the future.
Okay. So, as you mentioned, we really don't know how this discussion is going to progress through the special session.
I've heard a different method every day, sometimes twice a day, and different ideas of how people want to do it. If you ask me, for instance, if I was going to give money back right now, the first thing I would do is we've committed to about a $700 million expenditures on the capital. We only allocated, like, I think, $300 million. And so the next 4 or 5 years, each year, we have to come up with $100 million. I probably would just put the money all aside right now. But you know, we all have our own ideas, and I'm not the one making those decisions. So I want to look at the bills they are and see which is spending the money wisely, being conservative, not over-deducting, but I do believe that probably some tax refund of some type is merited now.
So you had mentioned also the initial plan for the special session has been delayed a week. So the leadership has been getting together trying to form some sort of approach.
Well, and I don't understand, you know, I'm surprised it took leadership this long because the governor has been working hard. I've sat in two meetings alone that I've had with the governor over the tax deals at different functions. He's been very diligent on getting his idea out there and vetting it and making the projections and the figures available to people. And then we get down to the last minute, and you know, we have the same members of the Senate we had last session in there. So if they decide that they don't like tax credits for the farmers and those industries, they could tie up the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then they all have their own ideas of which type of tax relief they want to give. Some of us think that the governor's come up with a good plan, that's what we ought to be the starting point. Others think that they know better than what the governor and the governor's staff does, and their ideas are better. And so it's going to depend upon who's willing to sit down and compromise and look objectively at all the plans.
Yeah.
And not just try to pass something that's politically correct and way of raising money for the future or getting yourself reelected.
So as a longtime member of the House, what are the signs you'll be seeing that this is going to progress, that we are having a conversation versus we're going back down this path where it's not going to end well?
Well, I would think we were all mature enough, and everybody agrees there's some money for some type of tax relief that we would do something.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have that confidence so that we will reach an agreement. Because there are also a lot of us, I call them the normal Republicans, or you know, we've heard from our constituents. They want a tax cut, but they also don't want us going overboard. We end up like Kansas and then come back next year and try to, or 2 years now, and have to raise taxes. That's a bit, you know, you can always find a legislature. If we don't do enough tax cuts and 3 years we have excess money, you can always find somebody willing to propose a tax cut because
right.
It's a good political move to make.
Right.
But if you give it away and you tie it up their hands and we run into a negative situation, it's a real challenge to find anybody step up and say, yeah, we need a tax increase. It just doesn't happen.
Right. So the concern would be that you'd be a bit too aggressive with the tax cut and then you're going to have to come back and increase taxes or cut services.
Well, when you tie up future hands of the legislature with either trigger points saying you get to a certain level, you're going to get a tax cut. When you start doing that, you're assuming that we as this legislature are smarter than the next generation of legislatures. And I don't believe that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
They know what's in front of them. They know what variables are out there, what inflation is, what crises are, whether we've had a huge tornado hit or we've had floods. Or they'll know the crisis that day to best apply to the situation better than we can do that today.
Yeah. This special session will be the last act of the current legislature. Elections in November. New legislators will be coming in. New session in January. So let's transition to that. What do you see coming ahead for the next legislature?
Well, I'm being over-optimistic. I see new leadership, and I think the new leadership will see what the results of internal fighting was, and what we didn't get accomplished, and the animosity it created, and will be much more willing, at least on the House side. I think our leadership is going to be much more accommodating, open-minded, and follow our principles, but still that we are part of the system. The House is one-third of the system, but we agree that it's not our way or the highway. And I think there are new members in the Senate, and some Senate leadership will believe that, you know, this old method of just seeing what we can stop and block
doesn't really serve Missourians that well, does it?
I know, but it has to do with power.
Yeah.
And giving people to give up the power they have is hard to do.
Right.
But I still am optimistic. The House, we're going to be much more amenable, I think, than the Senate. The Senate cannot be much more structured than they were last session.
Yeah. So what unfinished business from your legislative standpoint remains from this last session, and what do you hope to build upon for the next session?
Well, if you just went to the last session and looked at the bills that were out there, there were so many bills that were non-controversial bills. that needed to pass. And there, you know, the government is just like a business. We have day-to-day events going on that need addressing. We have day-to-day events where we're seeing our past laws need to be modified. Those are the common sense things that need to be done. They're not very glamorous, but called house cleaning, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of those out there. There's some modifications. Every representative has some simple bill, usually out of his district, that's particular his district, that doesn't really affect something. They just need something done. We're not addressing those. We're spending our time talking about those bills that, you know, are glamorous and grandstanding and those things.
Yeah.
We start on them every year and do them over again. And it's a little more of the same thing over and over. And the real local bills that each legislature has, you know, for their district that pertains to their district, they're familiar with it. We're not getting to those.
Okay. So what are some of the local bills for the 59th that you would be pushing then for next session?
Oh, there are bills from the judicial branch would deal with change of venue in capital murder cases, jurors' pay. Some bills from industrial labor have to do with what the surcharge is going to be. There's bills from public safety that I have that deal with wholesaler's license. There are bills addressing to look at our retirement system. Can we go back to 85 and out down the road at some stage, start building a plan for that's important. I think I have 12 or 13 bills that have been given to you. Most of them come from different organizations. There's a chiropractor bill to expand the services of chiropractors to animals, which is big in other states. It's licensed. You can do that here in Missouri, but you have to have a veterinary stand there with you. If your specialty trainer is a chiropractor, you can do chiropractic treatment on animals. And it's a big deal with horses and a lot of small animals. Hmm. It's a big full-time profession. It could raise a lot more revenue and occupation for a state. But in Missouri, to do that, you have to have a veterinary stand there with you while you're doing it.
Really?
Well, a chiropractor can treat you and your child or whatever, but they want to treat your dog, you got to bring the vet in, even though they're trained and they can do it with the vet standing there. Those are simple bills like that that we're trying to get corrected. And just a lot of those bills. But I'm not the legislatures have bills that are unique to their district. In my district here, because we're a state government, we have a lot of our government bills that can just be need cleaning up and done.
Mm-hmm.
Wholesalers, licenses, you have to be a resident for 3 years. Well, that's been declared unconstitutional about every way it can be, but that's still the law. So if someone comes in with 1 year residency, wants a wholesale license, the state employee is in a quandary. Do I do something I know it's going to violate the law, or do I do something that's going to violate the state statute? We just need things like that cleared up.
Right.
And that number, where it's one or three, the wholesalers would sit down and talk to us, find a number that's agreeable and move it through.
Yeah.
And so there's just a lot of little bills like that that every legislature has. Those will make a little priority to get bills that aren't going to cost anything particularly, that just need cleaning up.
Yeah.
A boring life.
Well, but those, quote, little bills affect people's lives, right?
Well, the retirement bill will, and the other bills do. I mean, jurors' pay will. You know, we still have someone gets put on pretrial release, the shackles they wear have to be charged. Well, if they don't charge them, it's not a violation of the crime. The original shackles did not need charging, so now they don't need to take a hammer to the shackles to get out they want to violate. They just let it go dead.
Oh, wow.
They're doing things when they shouldn't be doing. It's additional work for our police departments.
Yeah.
It puts a tarnish on pretrial release, which is a delicate enough issue already to who gets released and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And just those things like that are so important that we stay on top of things.
Yeah. They get lost in the shuffle for those other big bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can spend days talking about gun control.
Yep.
We'll spend days talking about, I mean, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of abortion issues this year.
Mm-hmm.
I hope with our new leadership, though, he is committed that he is going to try to address a lot of these, what I call running the business bills.
All right. Well, and so December 1st is when bills are pre-filed, yes?
Yes, and November 1st, I had some down and they sent a reminder back. They couldn't redraft them yet until November the 1st, so.
All right. So it'll be coming up very quickly. And certainly, as you pointed out at the top of the podcast, every day you're out there trying to address the needs and concerns of constituents.
Well, I was on the phone this morning with some state agencies already, for instance, on retirement bill, you know, getting their input and having, because again, that is not a bill that's going to be my idea, whether it's 85, 80, it's going to have to be scientifically and statistically proven this is what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We have, there are some bills come up on some FBI background checks and certain things we got to get passed. Things like that just need to be done. And that's, I know that's being drafted.
Yeah.
We saw last week on one of the bills I passed 2 years ago, which had to do with residential care. We're keeping children 18 and under for 365, 24 hours a day. That bill was used last week to investigate, shut down, or make the home in Cedar County safer.
Right.
Protecting the kids there from a system. So some of your bills, you know, you do see they're doing a lot of good, but you get frustrated when you have these little bills. You work to get them through, and then you go to Senate and just die.
Yeah. A lot of times the public, they don't necessarily understand it is a year-round position that most reps, especially those in the area, spend a lot of time at the office. It's not just during session.
And that's more true for Cole County because you have people who call in with complaints with the highway department. Well, our highway department is here, and they do great jobs, but you're still going to get people unhappy. You have people call with the prison system all the time. You have different Department of Revenue people call, you know. Everybody has their own challenges. Our departments are part of, you know, a lot of them overworked, and they have calls, and they want you to give an answer. Constituents here in our district are much more familiar with the government than in some rural area where it's not front and center.
Right.
So we have a lot more ideas that need to be vetted for what different types of bills they want. And I had someone last week, you know, calling with the Initiate Wardsville School Board about the restrooms. You know, why aren't we doing something? And my advice to them is very simple. The last thing you want at Wardsville School District is a legislature trying to tinker with it.
Right.
Everybody wants us to do something. The same token, we want less, keep it local.
Yep.
And most times, that's how it can be done a whole lot better. 165 ideas, people with different ideas, or 164, whatever it is, individual ideas up there doesn't mean you're going to come up necessarily with a better bill for a local entity.
Yes.
Since we are local, I mean, we really do appreciate the conversations we have. I mean, there are people who, businessmen and that, who call me and say, we know you have to vote for a tax cut, but we want you to be really conservative about it because we want a stable government more than we want this small tax cut. Because when the individuals, it's not that much money to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't get caught up with the idea you got to do a tax cut. And then we have certain ones here say, no, we want the tax cut. But those same type of people, they're living in Northeast Missouri who aren't getting bombarded on the news and everything with our are not going to be thinking of that and getting that input.
Yeah.
We always have millions of ideas come in for conservation, you know, what they should do and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them have to remind that they are constitutionally chartered a way they operate, and they have their certain amount of their own freedom, which is for good reason.
Right.
You may not like what the Conservation Commission does sometimes, or MoDOT does, but I assure you that you will get a more consistent and equal balance of power there than if you will subject them to each to the individual goals of the legislature.
Yeah. The whims of the legislatures could easily pervert the mission of the organization.
From my standpoint here in mid-Missouri, you know, I have to realize that rural Missouri is going to keep losing in population or influence, and Kansas City and St. Louis are going to get more. So I want those entities to have their independence so we're not spending all of our money in St. Louis on roads and ignoring our rural areas. And that's, you know, my own selfish reason, but that's what outworks. We all have Sure. our own goals and try to hit a balance to protect them.
Yeah, that's the beauty of the legislative system there.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. Well, Rudy, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. And it's an opportunity we have to talk to our constituents and advise them. It's not all clear black and white answers. I mean, we have to take a bill in front of us, analyze it, break it down. The collateral consequences of these bills can be pretty significant.
Yeah.
And if we pass bills that you don't analyze them, once we see the collateral consequences, they can make us look like we're not doing a diligent job there.
Right.
And thank you again for your time.
Thanks for listening. You can find News Tribune on tap at newstribune.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play.